Track-free strategies for 90s rave flavor. Intermediate Ableton Live workflow for drum and bass. Let's do it. Today we're treating freeze and flatten like a creative weapon, not a panic button for CPU. Because that's basically what the 90s workflow was. Commit to audio, resample, degrade it a little, chop it up, and suddenly everything feels glued, gritty, and slightly dangerous in the best way. By the end, you'll have a 16 to 32 bar rolling DNB section with three big printed elements, a break layer that's been frozen and re-chopped like a sampler, a rave stab that's been bounced and warped for artifacts, and a bass line that's no longer a precious synth patch, but audio you can slice, gate, and punish. Before we touch anything, set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 174. I'm going to park us at 172 BPM. Now, quick warp defaults so you don't fight your material. For drums, we generally want beats warp mode, preserving transients, and an envelope somewhere around 10 to 30 depending on how tight you want it. For stabs and pads, you'll usually get better results with Complex or Complex Pro. And if you specifically want crunchy grain, texture is your friend. Create four tracks: break, tops or shaker, bass and rave stab, audio or MIDI as needed. Then create two return tracks. Return A is rave verb, just a reverb and an EQ8 after it so we can shape the tail. Return B is tape dirt, saturator into redux, but subtle. This is not destroy the mix dirt. This is it came off a sampler and a crusty mixer dirt. Alright, step 1. Freeze the break layer to commit the vibe. Grab a break. Amen, think. Whatever you've got that already has some attitude. You can use an audio clip straight on the timeline, or you can load it into simpler in slice mode. Slice mode is great if you want the MIDI controls the break feel, but audio on the timeline is totally fine too. Now build a processing chain using only stock devices. Here's a solid starting point. First, EQ8. High pass at about 30 Hz with a steep slope. We're not making sub out of a break. We're cleaning rumble. Then listen for boxiness. If it feels like it's honking, a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. Next, drum bus. This is a huge part of that modern but old school punch. Drive anywhere from 5 to 15 depending on how brave you're feeling. Crunch around 5 to 25. Boom at 0 unless you really need it, and if you do use boom, keep it controlled, around 55 to 70 Hz, and don't let it take over. If the break gets dull after all that, add transients, maybe plus 5 to plus 20. But don't max it, you're not doing EDD and click drums. You want snap with some hair on it. After drum bus, add saturator, soft clip mode on. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. This is your input stage overload vibe. Teacher tip here, if you drive into the saturator and it starts getting too loud, don't just back off the drive and lose the tone. Instead, keep the drive and use utility right after it to pull the gain down. That's how you get the clipped character without wrecking your headroom. Then comes the fun. Redux. This is where the 90s edge shows up. Downsample somewhere between 2 and 8. Start around 4. Bitch reduction. Be careful. 0 to 3 is usually enough. And remember, redux is a spice, not the main meal. A classic move is automating redux so it hits harder on fills only. That way your main loop stays punchy, and your transitions get nasty. Now here's the moment. Right-click the track and freeze track. Then right-click again and flatten. And yes, flattening is the point. We're committing. We're ending the endless tweaking. We're turning a break with plugins into a piece of audio that already has history. One extra coach note. Freeze isn't neutral. Before you commit, decide what kind of print this is. Is it a tone print, where you bake in EQ, saturation, a little redux, but keep motion flexible? Is it a motion print, where you're committing filter movement or LFO wobble? Or is it a space print, where you deliberately bake in return reverb and dirt so the tails become part of the sample? Pick one intention per print. If you print everything all at once every time, it turns into fog fast. Step 2. Rechop the frozen break like a sampler. Now that your break is audio, consolidate a 1 to 2 bar loop. Command or Control J. Duplicate it out so you've got an 8 to 16 bar block to work with. This matters, because jungle edits are about repetition with tiny mutations. You want a stable loop you can interrupt. Now start slicing. In arrangement view, Command or Control E to split at key hits, kicks, snares, the little ghost notes that give it swing. Here are some fast, air-authentic edits. Kick dropouts on bar 4 or 8. Just remove a kick and let the groove gasp for air. Snare double. Take a snare transient, copy it, and paste it a 16th later for that classic panic energy. Reverse tails. Duplicate a snare tail, reverse it, and fade it in so it sucks into the hit. Optional but powerful. Take that flattened break and drop it into simpler in slice mode, slicing by transients. Then write a MIDI clip that plays the slices with small variations. This is a great hybrid because the grid is printed, but the performance is flexible. Step 3. Freeze for generation loss. This is the secret sauce. The 90s sound often isn't just distortion. It's repeated committing. Each bounce softens something, smears something, and blues something. That's generation loss, and we're going to control it. Create a new audio track called Print. Set input to resampling. Arm it. Now record 8 bars of your break playing, with your returns engaged. This is important. If you want a space print, this is where you bake the room and the dirt into the audio. Now you've got a printed loop that already sounds like it came off a 2-track. And you can chop that instead of the original. Want to do a second bounce pass? Optional, but spicy. On the printed audio, add a Q8 and gently tilt it darker. Maybe a high shelf down 1 to 3 dB above 10 kHz. This mimics that each copy loses a bit of air effect. Then add glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Set threshold so you're getting maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You're not crushing it. You're nitty it. Then redux very lightly. Downsample maybe 2 to 4. If you love it, freeze and flatten again. Now you have print generation 2. Teacher warning, multiple prints can steal your transients. If your drums start feeling like they're wrapped in a towel, you've got two fixes. 1. Put a clean transient anchor under it, like a dry snare layer tucked down at minus 12 to minus 18 dB, just to restore the crack. 2. Use drum bus transients very lightly on the printed audio only. Plus 2 to plus 6 can bring life back without turning it into plastic. Also, add locators for printing. Seriously, put markers like Print Clean, Print Dirty, Print FX. It turns resampling into a deliberate performance, like bouncing to DAT. You'll make better choices faster. Step 4. Freeze bass to turn it into audio material. The goal here is psychological. Stop treating bass like a sacred synth patch. In the old workflow, you'd print it, then slice and process the recording. So we're doing that. Make a rolling bass an operator or wave-eatable. Here's a quick operator recipe. Oscillator A. Sine. Add oscillator B. Sine or triangle, slightly detuned. Just a tiny amount for thickness. Filter. LP24. Set frequency somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz and automate it. Resonance around 0.8 to 1.5, just enough to speak. Add saturator, soft clip. Drive 3 to 8 dB. Then add auto filter after distortion for movement. Tiny LFO amount. Like 5 to 15. Rate sync to 1/8 or 1/16. Now, important note. Don't freeze bass if you still need to tune your sidechain relationship with the kick. Get the groove and the ducking behaving first. Then commit. Once it's grooving, freeze the bass track. Then flatten. Now it's audio and audio loves violence. Add a gate for choppy movement. Set threshold so the tails pump with the drums. Adjust return so it feels rhythmic. Maybe anywhere from 0 to 50 milliseconds depending on the material. Add utility for mono discipline. At minimum, keep your sub mono. A good rule is mono below around 120 Hz. Then do audio edits. Reverse tiny chunks for call and response. Add micro gaps. Fade little ends so it breathes. Arrangement idea you can steal. Bars 1 to 8. Clean bass audio. Bars 9 to 16. Duplicated and add redux and a bit of reverb send on select hits for a rave smear. Then bar 16. Kill everything for one beat of silence and slam back in. Classic. Bonus bass layer trick. Make a Reese Fog layer from the bass print. Duplicate the bass audio. Warp it in Complex Pro. Transpose it up or down by 7 or 12 semitones. Add chorus ensemble for width. Then low pass around 200 to 500 Hz. Blend it under the main bass. Wide energy on top. Sub stays mono. Huge payoff. Step 5. Freeze rave stabs and abuse warp artifacts. Rave stabs feel printed. They feel time stretched. They feel like the sampler is struggling. So let's make the sampler struggle. Create a simple stab in analog or wave-eatable. Saw wave. Filter. Short amp envelope. Add reverb on the track. Short and bright. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Add chorus ensemble subtly for width. Now freeze and flatten that stab to audio. Great. It's no longer a synth. It's a sample. Now warp it. This is where the artifacts live. Try Complex Pro and lower the formants. Somewhere around 0 to 30. You'll get that weird vocalist shift. Or switch to texture and set grain size around 80 to 200 for crunchy time stretch grain. Chop one stab into a one bar hook. Then pitch it around with transpose. Minus 2, plus 5, plus 7 semitones. That movement screams classic rave language. Print a few variations as separate audio clips. You're building a stab palette, like a little sample pack inside your set. Extra texture move. After flattening, use texture warp with smaller grain sizes, like 30 to 90 for fizzy artifacts. Then add a gentle low-pass sweep with auto filter, resample two bars of the best broken moment, and reuse it as a hook. That's the old-time stretch card vibe. Step 6. Arrange with commit blocks. Very 90s mindset. Instead of relying on endless synth automation, you're arranging printed blocks, like you're working with sampler memory and you've got to make decisions. Here's a simple 32-bar plan. Bars 1 to 8, breaks only, plus tiny stab teases, low passed so it feels like it's approaching. Bars 9 to 16, bass enters, full break, add one or two printed fills. Bars 17 to 24, variation block, swap to your second generation printed break with extra dirt for lift. Bars 25 to 32, drop out, then return, plus one abused warp stab moment as a feature. Use locators, drop, bury, fill, switch. This seems small, but it makes you work fast and decisive. Now, common mistakes to avoid so this actually hits. Don't freeze too early. Commit after the groove exists. If you print a weak idea, you just made a permanent weak idea. Don't flatten without saving the source. Best practice, keep a safety version. My favorite tidy method is grouping your instrument track, then duplicating inside the group. Chain A is source, deactivated, labeled do not touch. Chain B is the working version you freeze and flatten. Clean session, safe patch. Don't overdux everything. If the whole track is bit crushed, nothing feels special and your punch dies. Use it in moments. Use the right warp mode. Beats for drums, complex or texture for stabs and pads. And when you resample, don't print your returns too loud. If the reverb is already dominating at the printing stage, your next processing steps will turn it into mush. Let's do a quick mini practice. 20 minutes. 1 16-bar loop. Start with a 2-bar break loop. Add drum bus and saturator. Get it punching. This audio version is shortened for playback.